Fuzzy TV.
Remember, we've been talking about God who winnows will bring back. The God who sows will reap. The God who brings the breaking will definitely bring the healing. Yes, yes, he does, and he will. Today, I'm going to bring you finally the Matthew chapter 8 revelation. And I'm going to do that in conjunction with Ezekiel chapter 37. And also, I'm going to quote myself from a newsletter I wrote. And we're going to see some of the fine points. This is a section of a newsletter I wrote called Dawn of the New Covenant. I really love this newsletter. If you want to read it, it's called The People of the Current Era. It is volume 5, issue 36 of ZWTF. Tell you what I'll do. I'll put a link to it right down here. If you want to introduce your friends who are wannabe Israelites, you want to let them know what's going on. This is part 100 of my Romans series. I wrote this back in September of 2016. Volume 5, issue 36 of ZWTF. I'm going to be quoting from that today. And then after I exhaust this topic, it will take, I think I've exhausted it after today, actually. We're going to talk about the second death. Boy, do I have some crazy stuff to read to you about the second death, about what other people think the second death is. But I'm going to tell you what it actually is, and you're in for a real treat because you're going to see and hear some things you've never seen or heard before. You have all that to look forward to this week on MZ TV. This section is called Dawn of the New Covenant. Of course, I'm going to paraphrase myself. Now, after our departure from earth, God rejoins his plans for Israel. Paul says this in Romans chapter 11. And you know what? This is what got me launched on this whole thing. Many people think that the return of Israel to Palestine prior to the 1948 declaration of statehood was the fulfillment of the prophecy of God to bring Israel to the motherland. Haha, you know, that's not what I think. God is gathering the tares to be burned. For the most part, these people that are there now still reject their Messiah. Not completely. There are some completed Jews there. Some people call the Jews in name only fakers. I call them posers. But they're not the true Israel of God. Now, on the other hand, some sons and daughters of the kingdom, the offspring of the lost 10 tribes, which I talk about a lot in this article, they name the name of the Messiah, in other words, Jesus Christ, yet, this describes Christians, listen to this, they have fallen under the popular delusions and typical Jewish self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is a trait of religious people of every stripe. When the time arrives, however, God is going to illumine them. This is what we call the new covenant, the dawn of the new covenant. When that time comes, the light is going to come on these people. They will escape their deception at the dawn of divine light. This is the great move of God, the great move of spirit that brings these people in. God will call them, and it will be the beginning of the new covenant. God is going to rattle them. Yeah, he's going to break into their well-walled world. And his spirit's going to come on them so suddenly that, as I was saying to you yesterday, they're going to repent. Oh, that's powerful. They're going to repent of their apostasies and learn through great tribulation to embrace the true God and the true Christ. The tribulation is going to refine any gold that lies within these people. And it's there. It's just in the rough. Others will be burned in the fire. Again, these will be the posers. They don't care anything about God. They're just, they just want to look good to everybody else. But the majority, as I've said, will become enlightened, I think. I'm really confident in that. The remnant will have already been prepared. The remnant is, again, those, I call them elites. They're already grasping the circumcision gospel. And they're already prepared. They're still going to be refined. They're going to be prepared even more, but these are the 144,000 generally. The remnant will have come to God in the time of apostasy, like they seek God early, that kind of thing. Paul writes of these in Romans 11. Some of the remnant will be sealed. Not all the remnant is 144,000, but some of the remnant will be sealed to become part of the 144,000. Others will comprise the vast throng spoken of in Revelation 7. 9. Now, remember, these are the bona fide ancestors of the house of Israel, not the house of Judah. These are the northern tribes taken into captivity in Assyria. They're not the southern tribes taken to Babylon at a later time. Those Jews taken to Babylon, as I've been saying, eventually returned to the land, but the house of Israel never saw Jerusalem again. Since then, most of them have been lost even to themselves. Only a few realize their identity. But one day, Jeremiah 31, God will turn Israelite hearts of stone into flesh. He will call his true people, get this, this is exciting. He will call his true people from the Catholic churches, from the Lutheran churches, from the Baptist churches, and from every Pentecostal assembly. God is going to supernaturally invade the hearts and minds and the souls in pews from Amsterdam to Athens, from New York to Los Angeles. And the deafened ears will hear, and those who have been blind will see. These will no longer be the days of the remnant, where the remnant only grasped the truth. Because the remnant exists now, you see, even while we are on the earth, there is a remnant in the current era. But after we're gone, God takes up again with Israel, big time. And so the days when these people here, those in the Catholic churches, the Lutheran churches, the Baptist churches, they've all been asleep. They've all been hibernating by the decree of God. They don't get anything. They're dense. They're dull of hearing. But they're going to be enlightened by the Spirit. And at the dawn of the new time, the presence of a remnant becomes moot. It becomes moot at that point because this move of God is going to stun the world. You don't need a remnant anymore because the nation's going to be coming now. This is the new birth of the nation being born in one day. I love this. The question will be, where did these people come from? That's the shock. There wasn't even any labor, so the world thinks, but of course there has been. And now we'll begin the era of the new covenant and the final days of this eon. It's been a long time coming. Yeah, thousands of years. It's ridiculous. God takes his time, let me tell you this. God really takes his time, but that's his prerogative. But God at last births his true ones. They will come from the least likely places that you would expect to find true Israelites. Paris, Prague, Venice, Schenectady, Toledo, St. Louis, Amarillo, Burbank. Ha! And the world is going to be shocked. God knows the bloodline. God knows the bloodline and has cataloged the real Israel all along. He alone is able to trace the DNA back through America, back through Europe, back through the Assyrian captivity, back through Jerusalem, and back through Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. It is a beautiful thing. Here's the Ezekiel 37 shocker. Boy, I've been waiting to get to this. A passage of scripture. There is a passage that describes everything I've been telling you. It's Ezekiel chapter 37. This is commonly referred to as the Valley of Dry Bones. Oh, this does the job, let me tell you. Ezekiel wrote about, I honestly believe this, in this passage, Ezekiel is writing about your church neighbors, your family members who are prone to Israel things. Many of them will be awakened to their calling after you are gone. Here are the verses. I'm looking at verses 1 through 14 of Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Boy, Ezekiel gives him a good answer. I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Here comes the move of the Spirit. Here comes the upper room times 100,000. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath. Spirit of God, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive. And this is all metaphoric, of course. the dry bones are, God himself is going to explain the metaphor, so I'm not going to do it here. Going to cover you with skin, put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. Up until this point, these people have been playing church. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. There was a noise. Just like in the upper room, there was a noise. There was a blast. And the same noise is going to happen on the day that the new covenant begins, that the Spirit of God is going to go over the whole earth. So there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. Ho, ho! God's going to rattle his people, his true people, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. Keep in mind, this is exactly what Ezekiel is seeing. Yes, this is the metaphor of a valley of dry bones, but Ezekiel is actually seeing the dry bones. You understand that, right? This is what he's seeing. He's seeing these bones come together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. Ladies and gentlemen, this is akin to Jesus Christ standing in front of Lazarus's tomb and saying, Lazarus, come out. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came. And the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Verse 11, Ezekiel 37. Here is the meaning of the metaphor. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. The house of Israel, not the house of Judah, the house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. There you go. What have we been talking about? When the hope looks gone, when everything seems to be a dead end, it's then that God says, these bones shall live. But the bones have been saying, the whole house of Israel, that's who this is, the whole house of Israel. The northern tribes that were scattered over all the four corners of the earth. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves. These are figurative graves, but they have been in a grave of understanding, in a tomb of misinterpretation, of ignorance, because of Satan, because they've listened to the lies of Satan rather than the truth of God. They've listened to the traditions of men rather than the truths of God. I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people. My people, still my people. After all these years, he knows where his people are. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you. This goes right along with Jeremiah 31. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. How many times is this said in how many different ways? Jeremiah 31, Isaiah 66, Ezekiel 37. We're going to see it in Matthew chapter 8 very soon here. It's everywhere. If you know how to see it, if you're looking for it, if you've given up on Israel, you're not going to see it, of course. I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life. No free will here. You will come to life because God has decreed it. And I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. Amazing. This is my commentary. The bones are figurative, and therefore so are the graves. The graves are the churches today and the dead religion. From here, God raises his people, rattles them, and fills them with spirit in startling measures. This is nothing less than the dawn of the new covenant. And it is the house of Israel, not the house of Judah, that exists in secret. With these, God begins. The house of Judah is yet in Jerusalem. It says, we see the house of Judah, those obvious Jews. Remember the two categories, obvious Jews and secret Jews. The house of Judah is yet in Jerusalem, and it says we see, so therefore it is blind. It stuffs prayers into the cracks of a wall mistakenly assumed to be a remnant of Herod's temple. No one who sees does that. It thinks that it is the Israel of God. It thinks it's the Israel of God, but it is instead the progeny of the Pharisees who crucified Christ. Yes, and it is a synagogue of Satan. Since then, what has it accomplished? It has accomplished nothing but apostasy. The house of Israel is another story. This is the hidden Israel, the Israel that God will spring upon the world. It is this Israel that shall be called from the four winds, which is exactly where it was scattered to, the four corners of the earth. The four winds blows it back from where it was scattered, brought to Jerusalem to minister in the coming kingdom with Peter, James, John, David, Abraham, and the Messiah himself. And now let's hear from Isaiah, if you don't mind. I got time to do this. Am I going to get to Matthew 8? Apparently not. I will tomorrow, it looks like. Let's go on to Isaiah 43, verses 4 through 10. This reiterates the truth that I just told you. This is God speaking. God speaking, let's pay attention. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. This actually touches on Matthew 8. The true replacement, you know, the replacement theology people, they have the replacement wrong. They think that literal Israel is going to be replaced with the nations, people who are not Israelites. But the truth is that the obvious Israelites are going to be replaced with the secret Israelites. I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. Here we go again. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Is this really in the Bible? Yes, this is scripture. This is a concordant version of the Old Testament. This is amazing. What a perfect synergy, a perfect corroboration of Ezekiel 37. Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Israel is God's witness. Bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Wow. So you see, Isaiah as well here prophesies concerning your friends and your family members. These are your relatives attending church, and yet barely understanding a word of what you tell them about God, especially Paul. They absolutely don't get Paul. The times are going to change. If they don't get Paul yet, don't worry, this may be another evangel. This may be the evangel for them, the circumcision evangel. And when the time has come, after we're gone, they're going to be called to it. Yes, because God will shake and rattle these people and raise them to their calling. This type of revelation comes with a lot of distress, but these acquaintances of yours will endure to the end, and they will be saved. God will rejoin them to the house of Judah. Descendants from the house of Judah also walk among us. Some good, some bad. Israel, as you know, was split again in the days of Solomon. This was a God thing. This was a God thing, and I've been talking about that for a long time. I don't need to review that now. Listen to this. I'm going to finish with this. I got to do Matthew tomorrow. I'm sorry. I don't do this on purpose. I just get into more detail than I plan on getting into, but who can argue with this? I mean, who doesn't want to hear this? Please, this is so fantastic. I love how God is going to get what he wants, and I love how God is just biding his time. That's all he's doing, biding his time. It's a sure thing. Just like our calling is a sure thing. Our snatching away is a sure thing. It is. God is biding his time. The day approaches when the house of Israel shall be reunited with the house of Judah. It will be the reunion of the eons. The chosen of the hidden Israel of the West shall join again with the recognized Israel of the East to partake jointly in the new covenant of God, supernaturally filled with the Spirit, to fulfill the destiny first whispered to Abraham. And once again, God grants Ezekiel the honor of describing this phenomenon in the same chapter he prophesied of the dry bones. Same chapter. Ezekiel 37, only this time verses 15 through 28. Here's what the church people subconsciously long for. Your friends, your family members in church, this is what they subconsciously long for. The remnant pines consciously for it. Those who are serious. But these are the ones who now are deaf, dumb, and blind. But we just said that God's going to open the ears of the deaf. He's going to open the eyes of the blind. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, "And you, son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and for the sons of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions." Joseph was another name for the house of Israel, also Ephraim. That's a long story, not necessary to get into it now. So Ezekiel actually did this. He had two sticks and he wrote on them for Judah and the sons of Israel, his companions, on one stick. On the other stick, he wrote for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them for yourself, one to another, into one stick, that they may become one in your hands. When the sons of your people speak to you, saying, "Will you not declare to us what you mean by these?" Because apparently he's doing this in public, and the people are watching this. "What the heck are you doing? Can you explain to us what you're doing?" Say to them, quote, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and so they will be one in my hand." Here's the interpretation. Verse 20, "The sticks on which you will write will be in your hand before their eyes. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold," listen to this, "behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations, and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols, which they're doing now, or with their detestable things, which they're doing now, or with any of their transgressions, which they are doing now. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. And my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons, for the eon. And David, my servant, will be their prince for the eon. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an Aeonian covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them. And I will set my sanctuary in their midst for the eon. My dwelling place also will be with them. And I will be their God. And they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst for the eon.